The president of Kansas State University says budget considerations in the state legislature seem to be looking up at this point. Richard Meyer says it doesn't look like there'll be cuts in fiscal year 2017, and with only a couple of months left, there'd be little time to adjust if there were.
And I think we all breathed a big sigh of relief. Now, anything's possible. Legislature's still in session and so forth, but we think we will not take a cut in this fiscal year, which is good news, because I don't know how we'd accommodate it this late in the fiscal year. And that there is some effort going on to rewrite the tax laws to increase tax revenues for 18. That would be spectacular as far as I'm concerned. It might lead to more certainty around our budget here at Kansas State, but around higher education in general, and help fund the shortfalls that they know they have in secondary education. So, you hate to be too optimistic, but I think it's some of the best news we've had in a long time that this is marching forward. And I will say, like I said last time I was on, in talking to the House and Senate leadership in our Kansas legislature, they do seem determined to do something to get us out of our fiscal difficulties here in the state of Kansas.
How much money totally has been cut out of Kansas State's budget?
That's a great question. I don't think I have that. I don't have that at my fingertips. I just know over the last 10 years, it's been going steadily down. So it's, I'm trying to think of the chart, and I may be wrong, but I think we had 40 million more 10 years ago, I believe, than we do today. So I think that's roughly right. So it's over 10 years, but it's, a little bit here, a little bit there. And some of it, late in the fiscal year, so you can't plan. You can't do the kind of budgeting you'd like to do with any certainty. And then, of course, it drives people as you go down to the university, you go through the colleges and the college deans and the departments, and the instructors are trying to plan their stuff. They can't plan. And it's just unfair to ask them to do that.
There haven't been a lot of raises here at the university either, a number of years.
There hasn't been an across-the-board raise. There have been raises in terms of faculty when they progress to some other level. So if you look at the numbers, it's actually pretty robust. But across-the-board raises, you're right. And if you look at our overall salary structure compared to the rest of the Big 12, we're not at the top, we're at the bottom. It's not a place we want to be. So, we have to look at 18 and see what happens and see what happens to enrollment. I mean, all your revenue streams are state and tuition. So how the state budget stabilizes, and then can we get our enrollment turned around? We've had a dip here in the last couple of years. Can we get that turned around? And will we ask for another tuition increase as well?
We've asked for a number of tuition increases.
We have, yep.
When enrollment dips, those increases, do they do any good?
Oh, sure. They help you meet the budget, and because we have more fixed assets than we do variable here. So utility bills are going to be about the same whether you have 200 less students or 400 less or 400 more. So you have a certain capacity over time. If we're getting smaller, then you can pull some levers and start to control cost either through people or through other ways. But in the short run, in the first couple of years, there's not many levers you can really pull to accommodate those fluctuations in enrollment.
You said the numbers were down. How far down?
Well, we don't know about the new year. We know we had a bigger than normal by 1% dip in enrollment from fall to spring. And people don't know why that was. We think it's because more people graduated in December and, of course, didn't return for the spring semester. But that was a little bit surprising to us. We'll have to see how fall is shaping up. We're not forecasting that far ahead yet at this point.
Are some of the drops because tuition has gone up?
Anecdotally, that's what we hear, that some people are not attending the six universities in the region system because of the tuition. Having said that, if you look at our tuition and fees here at Kansas State University across the nation, we are still a real bargain, the quality for what people pay. So it's, having said that, there are a lot of people in the state that maybe come from circumstances, particularly first generation, that can't, have trouble affording even what we think is reasonable tuition. So that's something on our minds all the time. In fact, we're starting a whole effort around first generation students, around needs-based scholarships. I think we've talked about this, that are gonna help try to offset some of that for families that come from financial circumstances that don't permit their children from going on to higher education.
When numbers are down in bad times, a lot of those show up at community colleges. Has that happened here in the state?
That's one of the things that's surprising. No, it has not shown up in the state. It hasn't shown up necessarily in the other state universities that have lower tuition than we do. A little bit of it goes there, but not the same number. So it's that analysis has not been done, and it will be, I assume, by the Kansas Board of Regents and the folks that look at that data to figure out what's happening. Is this a sign of economic distress in Kansas that's not allowing this, or what else is going on here that we don't know?
Now, we also had a problem with this travel ban imposed right. by the president. Has that been resolved here for those coming to Kansas State?
I think it has been resolved at this point. Of course, there's the administration put in effect a second travel ban that was supposed to take care of the problems of the first. There's I think it was a court in Hawaii that has a stay against that particular ban going into effect right now. So we're going to have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see this fall and how many international students are, you know, nervous about coming to the United States and going to school. We won't know that. I think our gut tells us that it's going to have some impact, that people will just be nervous about coming to the United States when their status in terms of being able to have a visa and study or whatever could be in jeopardy. So we'll have to wait. And what we're trying to do is make sure they know this is a safe, secure environment, that we want them here, and we're going to do all we can do to keep them here. So.
Now, you've got an outreach program doing that.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
What does that entail?
It entails mainly providing information, the sources of up-to-date information on all the intricacies of that program, to include, in some people's cases, if they need legal help, we'll get them legal help. There are people that do that pro bono, so we can connect them with that kind of help, so they can have some confidence that they know what their status is going to be.
Do you have any idea, just offhand, how many international students we do have on campus?
Let's see. The number that were affected by the ban was in the 60s, from those countries that were announced in the first ban. So it was, and that included some professors actually, and we care about all of them, obviously, equally. So I think I can't tell you the exact number of international. We have a pretty good population of international students. My personal view is we need more. I think that adds for a much richer experience here for all our students, both Kansas and other states and internationally. So I can't give you that number, sorry.
One of the other problems we face is concealed carry here on campus.
You bet.
Where does that stand?
There have been some efforts. There have been an effort or two in the legislature to exempt universities. That has not gone through, to the best of my knowledge, at this point. So I don't know if that's going to pass in this session or not. You know, there are some legislators that say universities ought to be exempt. There are others that say no, they should not. So that'll be fought out. I think the university presidents have all been pretty strong in the fact that we think we ought to be exempt, and the legislature has heard us. They know our stance. We're not allowed to testify because we're state employees, so we can't go lobby on the behalf of this bill or that, but we've been cautioned there, but they know where we stand on this. So we'll just have to wait and see. If we have to implement it, it'll be 1 July. We've got a pretty good set of rules that people have to comply with. And if they don't, then there's repercussions for not following the rules that will be outlined. The rules have been approved by the Kansas Board of Regents, and so we're ready to go if that's what they ask us to do.
What's the age limit?
21.
So you have to be 21 to carry.
You have to be 21 to carry. Has to be concealed. Can't ever show it. If it's inadvertent, then you have to consider the circumstances. Obviously, inadvertently show your weapon because you bend over and your jacket falls open or something. That's one thing. The kind of holster is prescribed. We're trying to make that weapon as safe as it can possibly be on your being, so it can't fall out and accidentally discharge, those sorts of things.
So I can't just stick it in my hip pocket?
You could, but if we found out about it, you'd probably be studying somewhere else.
So you can kick them out of school for violations?
We can take certain, it's like any school policy. You work down, you know, will be reasonable, of course, but it could come to that if they're not playing by the rules that we put in place that have been approved by the Kansas Board of Regents, then absolutely.
But anyone 21 or older
right.
can conceal
right.
carry on the campus.
That's correct. You have to assume there already are. You know, that's the thing. There already are people that are concealed carry. And even in the population at Manhattan, Kansas, when I talk about, I don't think this is a good idea for a campus. I get some people coming up afterwards and some faculty as well saying, I think it is a good idea. But I think that's the minority, I believe. I don't know. I don't have any data. Just anecdotal, but I think a lot of people just don't think it's the proper place to have a weapon. I agree with that.
You spent close to a lifetime in the military.
Yes, 40 years.
On a military base, were concealed weapons allowed?
No. In fact, very strict weapon policy on bases. If you had hunting shotguns and stuff, you had to have them stored properly and so forth, usually in an armory where you had to go pick them up and check them out to go hunt. So no, you couldn't just walk around with weapons. I mean, that's the whole point. Here are people that have been trained in the use of weapons, and there's very strict, in communities like that, housing areas, there's very strict rules. And so, no, in housing areas and stuff, you can't do it. Of course, on a military installation, there's weapons all over the place, but they're always well controlled, right? They're in the Army, they're out of the Army for training, you're on a rifle range or wherever, doing some kind of exercise in the field, and then they're all... So, but people are really careful, and they're held accountable. Everybody knows that they're accountable for their weapon and the safety of their weapon.
Let's talk about construction. Where do the buildings stand that we were working on? Are most of them complete now?
A lot of things are complete. Weefall Hall is finally complete. We'll have the dedication here. I think it's 1 April. Former President Weefall and Ruth Ann will be there, and it'll be a big deal because it is a big deal. It's a wonderful facility. I mean, everybody wants to be in Weefall Hall, and they want to be in that new dining facility over there too, because it's just, somebody said it's like a cruise ship. You walk on and you have all these stations where you can go eat. So hats off to our housing and dining folks here at K-State for putting that together and making it such an attractive and desirable place to live. I'm just running my mind through some of the other things that are still to be complete, but we're getting really close to the end of, I mean, they're finishing up a few little things on the business building, mostly exterior.
Are you starting anything new?
Well, we've got several things that we're thinking about. We have in front of the legislature right now a new geosciences building. It's one of the oldest buildings on campus. I think it's Thompson Hall. I've been in it not that long ago, and the floors kind of tilt a little bit. They need better research facilities, and geosciences is one of the things that is a field that is growing. And in Kansas, the needs will be great because it talks about energy and water and those sorts of things, and we're all about energy and water in this state, and lack of water in one of the aquifers. So having people trained to do it and meet workforce requirements is a big deal. So we're making a big effort on that, and then. Right beyond that will be a push for some new agricultural research facilities as well. The College of Agriculture does most of our research here. Over 50% of the research done at K-State is in the College of Agriculture. And their facilities are, I mean, they've got some decent facilities, and they've got some that are 100 years old. So that enterprise needs to be refreshed. We're looking at some modifications to McCain to make it more more pleasant for patrons, but also the student spaces in there, so we can have better learning venues in McCain. They're pretty old. And then Hale Library, there's one entrance we're trying to work on there. It's the entrance to nowhere. They say that you open the door, you walk in, and you got to read all these signs. How do I get out of the entrance that I'm in so I can get upstairs? It's not totally intuitive. So we're working. That's another one of our priorities. But we have priorities like that. All around campus. I guess the biggest one that's still to be completed is Seton Hall, and that's for architecture, planning, and design. That one should be done by August when school starts this fall. So people that come on campus, if you go anywhere near the student union, you can lurk over there and see how Seton, they've used old and new, old Seton, new structure to make a really attractive addition there for architecture, planning, and design. So that one, that'll be the last major. So I'm trying to rack my brain here, make sure I got this right. I think it's the last major one we're going to do on campus.
That is the president of Kansas State University, Richard Myers. I'm Richard Baker, and this is the K-State Radio Network.